Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Senator.
As we begin what is expected to be the last week of the session before the Senate breaks for the August recess, we will still not have dealt with the biggest problem facing American families right now, high gasoline prices. Yesterday, Democrats tried to move ahead with a massive omnibus bill that contained $11 billion in spending and 35 new programs. I don't think this is the kind of irresponsible government that should come before dealing with the energy crisis that is hitting Americans where it hurt the most in their pocketbooks. Sky-high $4-plus per gallon gasoline prices are forcing Americans to choose between putting gas in their cars or food on their table. America is being forced to choose between the gas they need to get to work or the prescription drugs they need to live. Back in Kentucky, I have seen how much these prices are hurting families. I know many people who have moved farther out into the suburbs to get a bigger yard and more real estate for their investment, but those same people now are stuck using $4 per gallon gasoline for their work day commutes. And a community in eastern Kentucky is fighting to keep local bus service running for their senior citizens. Many older Americans rely on bus and shuttle services to get out of their homes and are being cut off from their community services because of high prices. There are even places that have to gone to a four-day school week. Now, the kids like it, but it isn't very good for learning just to cut the bus service and the price of fueling the buses. These people want solutions for energy prices, not more politics. And the best way to address high prices is to get more fuel to the market. America has domestic energy resources that we only need to open up. I am tired of the Democrats playing politics with the high gasoline prices. Senator Reid is ignoring the toll gas prices are taking on family budgets in order to protect Senator Obama from angering the liberal wing of his party, the special interest opposed to finding more American energy. Simply put, Democrats are doing everything they can to avoid the energy debate because they know they are losing it. They know Republicans are right when they say we need to find more and use less. But here we are with 1 week left before senators depart for the summer, and Democrats are perfectly content to sit on their hands and do nothing. While issues like light heap, tax extenders, and some of the provisions in the Reid omnibus are important, the high cost of gasoline is something that should be addressed immediately, and I believe we should not go home for the summer until we pass a comprehensive energy plan to deal with the high cost of gas. Hopefully we can get something done this week, but if not, I'm willing to be here next week and the week after that until we finally get something done. Now, I'll be happy to answer questions, but I want to give you one quote that tells you where the Democrat leadership is. This is from Senator Chuck Schumer. He happens to be the head of the senatorial committee for the Democrats. Schumer suggested that other than a few small legislative items, Democrats are trying to push, which will be blocked by the Republicans in search of a comprehensive bill, including drilling, Congress will not, and this is a quote, move on a large energy plan until after the election. If Obama is elected and Democrats can gain large majorities in Congress, Schumer said, we will get, for the first time, a real energy policy. That's the leadership of the Democratic Party. Now you got questions. Any questions?
Senator, this is Ronnie Ellis. Which community in eastern Kentucky is foregoing bus service?
We're going to have to look that up. It came to us and we put it in. You're talking about for the community services for the seniors?
Yes, sir.
Mike will have that information for you if you'll just give him a call.
That's fine. Do you also on the 4 day school week?
Most of that is in East Kentucky.
Okay. I was only aware of two districts that did it this past year. Are you speaking of districts that are moving to that for the
yes.
coming school year?
Okay. For the coming year.
Okay. Is it fair to ask Senator of a Republican senator whether both sides are playing a little bit of politics with energy issues,
sure.
especially in light of the commercials between Senator McConnell and his opponent, Mr. Lunsford?
Well, you have me at a disadvantage, Ronnie. I have not seen one.
Okay.
I have DirecTV, therefore, the local channels I get are Cincinnati channels, and neither person is on Cincinnati yet.
Okay.
So
they're on the Internet, though.
Well, if you think I'm going to the Internet to watch TV commercials that are on regular television,
you wouldn't have had enough of them.
You must be out of your mind. And I know you're not.
Not yet. So, Senator, what the package that the Republicans passed, the energy package in 2005, I think it was.
Yes.
That now turned out to be totally deficient?
Well, it doesn't have gasoline prices were $2 and something at that time. And oil was at $70-something dollars a barrel when we passed that. And we put incentives in that, both grants and tax incentives for ethanol, for soy diesel, for other diesels, including animal fat diesel. And we also put big incentives and grants in for nuclear, which we don't seem to be able to progress because we don't have anybody in the United States that knows how to build a nuclear plant, since we haven't had one built in 25 years or so, at least 25 years. And therefore, we have five applications that have passed mustered, and we don't have anyone to use that money that's sitting there to build the first nuclear plant, at least to get it started. We know that that's long term. What we want to do is something short term. When you're faced with a crisis, long term's wonderful and planning for long term is wonderful, but you have to do something to get the market to react. I'm talking about the oil market to react to what the United States is going to do short-term and long-term. Because short-term means if we can make part of the outer continental shelf available, more of it available, closer in available, and that will tell the people in the markets, the people that hedge oil on the mercantile exchange, that, my God, the United States is going to produce more of their own domestic. Therefore, it would immediately affect the price of oil. If we're going to drill on our own lands, and we have about a 50-year supply, not counting Alaska, on our own federal lands, which is important, for exploration and drilling, then that also sends a very strong message to the mercantile exchange that we are going to take some of the dependency we have on international crude oil and replace it. You know, wind is wonderful, and I agree that we should do everything. But, you know, in Kentucky, wind doesn't work. So we've got to do something like coal to liquids. And we know there's a carbon problem, and we need to capture the carbon at the source or sequester it at the source. But that has to be in the overall plan for production of other source fuels. And when we do that, you will see a oil making its way under $100 a barrel. Until we do it, you're going to see $140 to $160 oil per barrel. And that means $4 plus gasoline prices for everybody in the United States.
Senator, if Congress does approve the an energy bill this week, what will the effect be on gas prices next week, do you think?
Well, if we do the right one and we send the message to the markets that we are serious as heck about reducing our dependency on the Middle Eastern oil, on Venezuela, on Mexico, and anywhere else that we now import from, then that would send a severe message to the markets, and I think you would see oil go the right way down. And you would see all of a sudden OPEC would be more cooperative and instead of less cooperative. So I think it would have an immediate effect on gasoline prices. But it's got to be comprehensive. Really, it has to be a comprehensive piece. And according to what Mr. Schumer said, they're not going to do it because they want to do it their way. Well, their way is the wrong way. If you cut off our own domestic production, what do? You have to rely on foreign sources. And by relying on foreign sources, that's why we have $140 or $130 per barrel oil right now.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic that even by the end of the year there'll be some type of comprehensive reform that will accomplish what you'd like to accomplish?
All I can tell you, I think, is this Bill?
Yes, sir.
All I can tell you, Bill, is that we're trying our darndest to get it done. What would be really wonderful is if the people that are speculating about opening that plant in Paducah would all of a sudden buy that second Riverport property and start turning dirt for that plant. And the original investment of $2 to $3 billion for a commercially sized coal to liquid diesel fuel plant.
Have you had any update on that in the last couple of weeks?
No, I have not.
What are the chances that the Senate will be in session this weekend and that your much-anticipated return to Fancy Farm might not occur?
Well, right now, if I were to guess, 50-50. I talked to Senator McConnell on the floor yesterday and asked him what he was going to do if we were in session. He said, we're going to be here working on an oil bill, a energy package. He said, if that's the case, then I'm going to be here where I'm needed.
What if you're not working on an energy package? What if it's something else?
Well,
or is that the only thing that would cause you to?
Well, the only thing I can tell you about that is that we can stop them from talking about anything else. We did that yesterday. They had an omnibus bill that had 35 different bills in it that spent an estimated $11 billion in authorization money, and we prevented them from cloturing the bill. So the reason we did that was to keep them focused on energy.
But from what Schumer said, it doesn't look like that that'll be on the table.
We will see. Sometimes Harry doesn't listen to anyone except Harry. So yesterday he made an offer, I think, to allow four amendments on each side, which was a 400% increase from his original offer. He offered one amendment on the energy bill, one for us and one for them. So at the last talk that Senator McConnell had with Harry Reid, there was four on each side. What we really need is about 10 amendments to fully cover all the things that we'd like to cover.
Senator, this is Lisa Autry with Western Public Radio in Bowling Green. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
I wanted to ask you about the record budget deficit we learned that the nation has yesterday. What do you think, or how do you think the next president should go about addressing that?
Well, the only way to really address the budget deficit is to look at entitlement programs because they're on automatic pilot. Unless you reduce the increase that are going into each of those three programs, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, unless you reduce the increase, I said, so... the Democrats consider that a cut when you reduce increases. In other words, if you take it from a 7% increase to a 6.5% increase, that's a cut, according to the Democrats. But it is actually a 6.5% increase. That is the only way we're really going to get a handle on the budget deficit, because we can't do discretionary spending, and when the... when the military doesn't need a emergency supplemental spending bills, as they have over the last 5-6 years, then that also would be a big reduction in spending. So those two things would really take a whack out of not only short-term, but when you project the cuts in the entitlement programs, we did it 1 year where we had a $40 billion reduction in the first year. But when you project that out in the out years, it is unbelievable what it does to the spending of the country. It really reduces the spending in the 10th and 20th year out.
Senator, even if, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. So those are the two main ways to get a handle on spending.
Senator, if the Senate does reach some kind of a acceptable compromise on the energy bill, what are the chances the House would pass it? And can that be done by the end of the week, too, to reach an agreement not only in the Senate,
I don't think it can. I don't think it can be done unless we would pass it on Wednesday or Thursday. And the House is still in session because the House is definitely going out next week. We originally were scheduled to be in next week, but Harry must have a Codell or something, because the last time we were out 5 days in a row, he went somewhere for the good of the country on a Codell. 5 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And
if just the Senate passes an energy bill, do you think that would have an impact on the market?
I do. I do think so. That means that we are dang serious about doing something. And I think people think that the Senate is the place that the energy bill started last time, and with that momentum that the House went along and passed it, we will see, and I can't predict what the House of Representatives will do.
Senator, this is Ronnie Ellis again. Did you see comments by House member Norm Dix after he flew over the mountaintop removal sites? And if so, I wondered what your reaction was.
No, I did not see them. I'm sorry.
Okay. He compared them to the clear cuts that he had seen in Washington of the timber industry, and seemed to be surprised by the extent of the practice.
Well, Norm would know about the clear cutting of timber in his state, I guess, but I'm not so sure that you can, just by flying over East Kentucky, pick out all the places where coal has been removed from the surface of the mountains. So, you know, how extensive was his flight and all the things that go with it? I guess everything that's been done has been legally done in Kentucky. I don't think we've had the law broken in removing. There's a requirement that you have to restore the site to the conditions that were there prior to.
Well, but they are allowed, if they can show a higher purpose, not to do that, and that's what a lot of these sites are, where the airports are built and so forth, and a lot of that land is left flat because there is supposed to be a higher, better use.
I think that's pretty accurate, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Some other questions?
Can you give us any preview of Fancy Farm and what you intend? Some of the comments you
Well, we're working on we're working on the speech right now.
You're going to keep
we're
it.
We're trying to keep it to 5 minutes. You know how hard that is?
I'm sure.
I don't. My biggest fear is to hear the horn. No, that's not my biggest fear of Fancy Farm.
What is your biggest fear?
Having little green doctors following me around, beating on my back as I try to talk, and having them rough up my wife to the point of having bruises on her body. Yeah, I know. Nobody saw it. What a bunch of crap.
Who should McCain pick for vice president?
Who should McCain pick for vice president? Are you kidding me? I'm not on the inner circle. I like Portman. I think Portman is about as qualified as anybody whose name has surfaced. I like Haley Barbour. Haley Barbour already told McCain that he's too conservative to run with him. So, you know, there are a lot of people out there that would be making very, very good vice presidents. The main thing is that they could do the job if something happened to John McCain. That's the main thing, that they actually could run the country. We've had other experiences that turned out differently, haven't we?
Senator Dan Conte with Moorhead State Public Radio.
Well,
it's good to
back.
Be with you again
yes.
this morning, sir. Senator, looking beyond the Fancy Farm, I noticed on the website of the Republican National Committee today, they are accepting suggestions and recommendations, ideas on what should be in the Republican. And I'm wondering.
I missed that question. There was some interference.
On the Republican National Committee's website, they're suggesting that they are accepting suggestions and recommendations on what should be in the platform for 2008. And I know Republicans would like to prevent anything like what happened in 2006. What do you think needs to be in that Republican platform?
What happened in 2006?
The Republicans did very poorly at the polls all across the country.
Oh, I thought maybe you meant the platform.
No. What do you think Republicans need to stand on in 2008 as a whole?
My God, you got a half hour?
I have a few minutes.
No, I think the basic principles of the party, you know, streamline government, less government, lower taxes, some type of acknowledgement on life and support for all life. The party was built by Abraham Lincoln to reduce the size of the federal government, not build on it, and just the opposite of the Democrat model of government. They would like to see more government and more people involved and therefore a bigger federal government. We would like to see less and less taxes and less support and reduction of our, which is now right at $10 trillion of our deficit. That's the public deficit that has been built up over since we started to use negative spending. We have to do something about that. And in so doing, that would shore up our greenback, our dollar, all over the world. And we have to get a Fed that obviously understands their mission. And there should be something, I think, in our platform to explain to the Federal Reserve exactly what their mission is. If they are wanting to expand their mission, they ought to be able to do their mission that they're given first. And I think we ought to reiterate that in our platform.
Isn't the White House's announcement yesterday about the $482 billion projected deficit in fiscal 2009 a problem for Republican candidates?
Why would it be a problem for them more than Democrats?
Well, it would be a problem for both of them, but this is an administration that was elected as fiscal conservatives, and as far as I know, they've not submitted a balanced budget to Congress. I believe they will have left office without having done so.
That's correct. We also, until we got into war spending, which were emergency supplementals, and the lack of control on our entitlements, we had the budget pretty well under control. Those two items, two major items, have been the cause of our the spending on the two, the Afghan and Iraqi war, the emergency spending for military, and our inability to get control of the entitlements. And so, you know, there's a mentality up here, and I don't happen to agree with it, that if you can keep your deficit at 3% of your GDP, at least 3%, that you are within boundaries of sanity as far as budgets are concerned. I happen to think that it should be less than 3%, and the closer to balance. You knew what was going on. Everybody gives Bill Clinton credit for balancing the federal budget. What a bunch of crap. We brought three budget bills out of the House Budget Committee, and I was on it. And John Kasich was the chairman, three in a row. And on the third time, it was charm, because Bill Clinton actually signed that bill. It was a Republican bill to balance the federal budget. And so Republicans were responsible for it, and you can credit the Bush White House for not sticking to that.
Do you think that John...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. But kind of along the same lines, I know John McCain has drawn fire from some conservative groups here recently for not making a no new tax pledge. Do you think he should do that?
No. The President of the United States needs some flexibility. No new tax pledge was made by George H. Bush, and one of the biggest mistakes he ever made in his acceptance speech at the convention. I was there and heard it, and I couldn't believe it, because how does he control Congress's writing of tax policy? I mean, you can veto it, but they can override your veto. So whether he kept his pledge would depend on whether the Congress believed it and kept it also. So Congress is responsible for, we have the purse strings in Congress, not the President of the United States. So Congress is responsible. That's why their approval rating is 12% and George H. Bush's 29%.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Senator, this is Ronnie Ellis again. One last question related to the election. How confident are you that your party can hold on to the 41, to a minimum of 41 seats in the Senate to be able to affect and shape legislation?
Well, it isn't a question of holding on to 41. You're going to have to hold on to about 46 or 45, 46, 47, somewhere in that number, because of defections. So unless we're able to maybe only lose one or two, possibly three seats, or for that matter hold what we have, 49, the chance of being a backstop here in the Senate would fall to less than 50%. I mean, as far as being able to hold back things that are bad and maintain the ability to get 41 votes or prevent the Democrats from getting 60.
And in this electoral climate, how optimistic are you that you can do that, or that your party can do that?
I'm as optimistic as I can be.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Hope to see you Saturday.
I hope so. I've got a plane all scheduled to go. I've got people going with me. Got two state troopers meeting me there. So I'm looking forward to it. I really, no, till the last Fancy Farm, my wife and I enjoyed going to Fancy Farm and eating dinner there and mixing with the crowd there. It was only at the last Fancy Farm that I had any problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.